ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. In today's majlis, I just want to finish off some points that were left out from one of the previous majlis. Inshallah, I'll just conclude that today. Inshallah, Al-Aziz. Regarding the qalb and the tashri' of the ayat يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعْ مَعْلٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, that we have to go to Allah Ta'ala with an intact heart. So the tashri' wasn't complete, but this one will add a few points regarding that. So the topic is عَلَامَاتُ مَرَزِ الْقَلْبِ. How do we know that our heart is sick? If a person is sick, he knows his body is sick, he's got a pain, he's got a chest cold, he's coughing, he's wheezing, or something is going on with him. So that is an alamat that he's not well. Right? That's an alamat that he needs to see the doctor. Everybody knows about all those alamat, because your body is talking to you. Your body is giving you signs that you are not well, you're ill, you need medical attention. Now the question arises, when it comes to spirituality, what is the alama and sign that we are spiritually sick? We need help. We need to get ourselves together and sort our internal condition, because it has reached sometimes very dangerous levels also. Just like how you have physical ailments can be, also some of it can be life-threatening. In the same way, spiritual ailments, also some of it can be very life-threatening. Now, how will we know that we are spiritually sick? So the ulama have written that inna sahibahu la tuklimuhu jarahatul ma'asi. The person that commits sin, the pain of the wounds of that sin doesn't touch his heart. When he commits a sin, he don't feel alam in his heart, he don't feel any pain in his heart. It's like nothing. He doesn't ever think that, Ya Allah, you have been so graceful to me, you have been so kind to me, you have taken care of all my needs, what am I doing? How can I do this? That thought doesn't pass the mind. The heart is gone dead. There's no pain in the heart left anymore. And also, sometimes, you know, we get desensitized. When you do something over and over, then something wrong starts looking right. And therefore, it's one of the reasons why our Sharia hasn't made a proper definition of what is a guna. What is a guna kabira? What is a guna sahira? Because after that, we start trivializing the gunas. We just say, no, it's small, carry on with it. And then we do small gunas over and over and over, it becomes good, big guna after that. So Sharia haven't even defined that. Every sin that we make, we should feel pain and alam in the heart. That's very important. وَلَا يُوَجِّحُهُ جَهْلُهُ بِالْحَقِّ. And doesn't cause him any pain that he is ignorant about the truth. He's following batil. He's following the wrong way. His aqidah is not correct. He doesn't conform to the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That is not, doesn't distress a person at all. So, that where am I going? Is this aqidah correct? Is this action in conformity to the teachings of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? He doesn't care about all that. Who am I associating with? Are these people the correct people? So, just by a side note, nowadays you get a lot of scholars coming into our country. And when we analyze their aqidah and what they are saying, it's totally in contradiction to our aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But we don't worry about all that. Say, no. Still, he's our guest. Give him red carpet treatment. Give him the masjid platform. Call all the people to listen to him. What is going to feed the people? Poison. Just like how his aqidah is fasid and batil aqidah. Says the kafir people are going into Jannat and all those kinds of aqidah, batil aqidah. That is contradictory to our belief. Now those type of ulama, we go sit in their company, we listen to their majlises, their discourses. What they're going to give us? Poison. They're going to finish our aqidah up also. So that doesn't cause us any pain in our hearts. We must all just keep quiet and allow it to carry on. How can that be right? Or is it our duty and fundamental obligation to save people from batil aqidah? It's our obligation to save people. Just like how we want to uplift people in their a'mal and their akhlaq, we also have to protect the iman of the people. If our aqidah is incorrect, that's the most important part of the entire sharia is aqidah. If the aqidah is incorrect, then the a'mal is baseless. Whatever amal a person makes is not going to be counted by Allah Ta'ala because aqidah is not right. So therefore, at the end of the day, we have to ensure that we are aware and alert when it comes to all these kinds of things about ignorance of haqq and having batil aqidah. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Ta'ala save the ummah also. And these people, and we're getting them in droves, they're coming one by one. Like we're inundated with these type of people being called from overseas to come and give us ta'lim here with all their batil aqidah, and they got a lot of baggage as far as their belief system is concerned. How can you follow such ulama? How can you follow such messiah? That's incorrect. So that is a sign that the heart has become sick. For us to associate with these type of people, our heart is a sign that has become sick. And on the flip side of the coin, how will we know that the heart has attained sihat now? It's like a person who is sick, right? Now when he's getting well, he had a very tough period, 1 month, 2 months, or 3 months, he has in maraz. So slowly you see ifaqah taking place, he's getting better, he's feeling a bit much more better now. Now a person like that, how will we know he's moving towards sihat or he has attained sihat? What is the sign for that? So they say, أَيَّرْتَحِلَ عَنِ الدُّنْيَا حَتَّى يَنْزِلْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَمَا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبًا وَعَابِرْ سَبِيلًا. That a person starts moving away from the dunya. You see a change in his life. You see focus. His whole focus has changed now. He's not worried about the dunya too much anymore. You see, in the beginning when you are young, then you know the world captivates you. But as you get older, then your vision changes. Your mindset changes. Then you come to realize that this is only a deception. It's only till I'll only benefit and then enjoy for a short period of time. So rather not me, then I go to the akhirat, the more I take from here and go, the more I'm going to answer on that side. So it doesn't become your objective of life anymore. That's why the Hadith Sharif said, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib." You must be like a stranger in the world, aw abir sabil, or a person passing over. Now, you know, a person who is a stranger, you're going somewhere on holiday, you're a stranger in somewhere, but at least you're carrying some bag, you know. You're carrying some bag, you still got some few pairs of clothes inside and all your stuff inside the bag. But when you are crossing the road, you don't even have a bag in your hand. You have nothing in your hand. You understand? So you can see there's mubalagha. From one level, the hadith now moves to the next level, the second level. You must be in this world as if you're just passing the road. A person that is passing the road, there's cars coming, everything. He's more concerned about not getting knocked rather than looking around what's going on. He's more concerned about that. So in the same way, a person now whose heart has reached sihat or is going towards healing his heart, then the sign for that is that his heart now is focused towards the akhirah. He realizes that this dunya is a deception. I only need so much. And after that, understand that everything else is all extra. I don't need so much. You'll understand that. So I remember once we went to Hazrat Maulana Qamru Zaman Sahib, our Sheikh, Damat Barakatuh, in my first safar. He took me to Mau, the place where Hazrat Shah Wasullah Rahmatullah Ali had his khanqah. And Hazrat Shah Wasullah Rahmatullah Ali's khanqah was a small, the front section of his room was a small little room. It wasn't big. And then it had like a baramda, it had like a courtyard a little bit. Then the people used to come there. So he used to tell me, you see this small little room. Shah Wasullah Rahmatullah Ali used to say that hamare jeene ke liye itna kamra kafi hai. We don't even need more space than this. This small little room is sufficient for our existence on this earth. See, when Allah Ta'ala has taken out the love of the world from the heart, then that all those things don't mean anything after that. So that's a sign that the heart is moving in the correct direction. And if we look forward, Azbabu marazil qalb. What creates sickness in the heart? Like nowadays, when you're physically, when you are sick, they said, no, you are having a lot of cold things, so your throat starts paining now, or he was, he never wear proper clothing and it was very cold, so therefore he started shivering, he got sick. So certain asbab, every sickness comes from Allah Ta'ala, but certain things lead towards it. In the same way, spirituality also, there are certain things makes the heart sick. And what are those things? Fitanu shahawat. Is shahwat, lust, desire, that is what makes the heart sick. And shubuhat also. Shubuhat, doubts. This first one, tujibu fasad al-qasti wal-irada. Shubuhat, they create fasad in our intention. So that as far as shahwat is concerned. It creates fasad in our heart, in our intention, all those things we get. Now, Musab, said that we can't please Allah Ta'ala, said that we can't make little bit sabr, that we leave all the haram things just for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. No, because why? Our shahwa is driving us. You see, so shahwa is not harnessed, it's not under control. Halake, I said, huffatil jannatu bil makari. وَحُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ It came in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Jannat is covered with all dislike things. And Jahannam is covered with all the lustful things. But now we won't worry about that. We will just do all the haram things. So this is what creates sickness of the heart. And shubuhat also, تُوجِبُ فَسَادَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْاَعْتِقَادِ When we start doubting things, especially when we associate tummat with the kuffar and all the people like that, then they start creating doubts in your mind. So waswasa starts coming in your mind because we're associating with the wrong people. And then shubuhat now creates fasad in our aqidah, that creates fasad in our ilm, and all these type of things. Instead of now using the deen to gain the proximity of Allah Ta'ala, you start using the deen to gain the dunya. Things like that start happening. So where this started from? Where this fasad came from? How it happened? So this is what it is. These two things, these are fundamental things. That's why Ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that for the heart you have poison also. There's poison for the heart. He says, Ra'itu dhunub tumitul qulub. That I saw the sins, they kill the heart. Waqad yurithu dhul idhmanuha. Persistent sinning creates, makes a person zaleel. Becomes zaleel, he becomes disgraced because he's sinning all the time. Sinning all the time. He can't leave all those things aside. وَتَرْكُ الذُّنُوبُ حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبُ And leaving out the sins, that is life for the heart. Life for the heart. Leave all the sins out for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Then see how the heart becomes bright and shining. And see how much of nur comes into the heart. Leave out all the sins. سَمَعَيْبَا وَخَيْرٌ لِنَفْسِكَ عِشْيَانُهَا And it's good for you to abstain from all these things. Protect yourself from all types of sins. Every kind of sin, whether it's with the hands, whether it's with the tongue, whether it's with the ears, whether it's with the eyes, but protect ourselves from all these things. Then Allah Ta'ala will create nur in the heart. So this was a few things that I just wanted to add that were left out in the tashri of that. Then this morning, alhamdulillah, in the riwayat of Mishkat Sharif, just give teaching because time is constraint of time, I just brought two small hadith. From Mishkat Sharif, wherein hadith has been narrated from Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, أَخَذَ بِيَدِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم held the hand of Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he told him, I love you. That means, when you love somebody for the sake of Allah ta'ala, الْحُبُّ لِلَّهِ When you love, then you must tell him, you must make izhar of the muhabbat. That I have muhabbat for you for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. To make izhar of a muhabbat for the sake of Allah, the ulama say is mustahab to do like that. When you love somebody for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you must tell that person, I love you for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. I have no other ulterior motives for loving you. It is only for Allah's pleasure that I love you. To do like that is mustahab. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam told him, Inni la uhibbuk ya Mu'adh. Now what a sharafat that is. Imagine Rasulullah telling the Sahabi, I love you. Allahu Akbar. فَقُلْتُ The Sahabi said, وَأَنَا أُحِبُّكَ I also love you. Now what sharafat that is. Imagine Rasulullah SAW tells the Sahabi, I love you. And the Sahabi says to Rasulullah SAW, I also love you, Ya Rasulullah. Sahabi. So Nabi SAW taught him. He said, okay, this is true muhabbat. He said that when you teach somebody something that will be a means of his betterment and closeness to Allah Ta'ala and his benefit in his deen. So Nabi SAW was a mu'allim. He used to teach everybody, all the time teaching, all the time teaching. So he told the Sahabi, قَالَ فَلَا تَدَعَنْ تَقُولْ فِي دُبْرِ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ. After every namaz, don't refrain from making this dua. رَبِّي أَعِنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكْ وَشُكْرِكْ وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكْ. Oh Allah, help me so that I can make your zikr, and I can make your shukr, and I can make your beautiful ibadat. Now, what a beautiful dua this is. Oh Allah, help me. Firstly, by saying, oh Allah, help me, you are showing Allah, me ajiz. I am helpless. I can't accomplish anything by myself. Oh Allah, I need your help. Even in taking your name too, I need your help. For my tongue to move and take your name, I can't do it on my own. Allah, you must help me. So it shows you that what kind heart Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had, what kind heart he had. He said, Allah, help me ala zikrik. Now zikr, where we make from? Our tongue. So this zikr of the tongue is referring to ta'atul lisan, obedience of the tongue. When you make zikr of Allah Ta'ala, that's obedience of the tongue. So he says, oh Allah, help me upon your zikr. Wa shukrik. This is ta'atul jinan. This is obedience of the heart. Where you feel satisfaction and appreciation? Where you find it? You find it in your heart. So Allah, help me to be obedient with my tongue. Oh Allah Ta'ala, help me to be obedient from my heart as well. And then, oh Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, wa husni ibadatik. And oh Allah, help me to make beautiful ibadat. That is ta'atul arkan. Where do you make, what do you use to make ibadat? Your hands, your feet, your legs, everything you use, isn't it? So Allah, help me to make ta'at of my tongue. Oh Allah, help me to make ta'at of my heart. Oh Allah, help me so that all my faculties, my entire body, and senate is used for ita'at. Now what a beautiful dua this is. It covers the entire spectrum. In the short dua like this here, a'inni ala dhikrik wa shukrik wa husni ibadik. So after every salat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling Mu'adh, don't leave out this dua. Make sure you must read this dua after every salat. I'll teach you one more hadith. Allahu Akbar. It has been reported from Hazrat Bara bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, kunna idha sallina khalfa Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we used to read namaz behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahbabna an nakuna an yaminihi. We should love to be on his right hand side. Why? Because he used to turn, then he can be face to face, we can see his Mubarak face. You know, after the namaz, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you should swivel to see the Sahaba. Right? So you should turn to see the Sahaba. Sometimes it comes in hadith, most of the time right hand side, and sometimes left hand side also. So you can turn right, the imams can turn to the right also, the imams can also turn to the left, there's no ishkal. There's hadith to establish both. But they say we should like to sit on the right hand side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yuqbilu alayna biwajhihi. So that we can see his Mubarak face. We can look at his face. Allahu Akbar. قَالَ فَسَمِعْتُهُ يَقُولُ. Now look at the dua Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is making to Allah Ta'ala. He says, قِنِي عَذَابَكَ. Who's making this dua? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قِنِي عَذَابَكَ. Oh Allah, protect me from your punishment. يَوْمَ تَبْعَثُ أَوْ تَجْمَعُ عِبَادَكَ. The day you resurrect or you gather your servants, oh Allah, save me from your punishment. Now who's making this dua? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person who's totally ma'soom. Does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have any sins? He has no sins. But what fear he has? Ya Allah, don't punish me. Allah, you don't punish me. Make fazl on me. Now we are loaded with sins. We are loaded with sins. Every day we're making sins. From morning till night, we're making guna. Our whole body is full of sins. From head to toe, we're covered with sins. So how much must we make this dua to Allah Ta'ala? Qini azabak. Allah, save me from your, protect me from your punishment. يَوْمَ تَبْعَثُ أَوْ تَجْمَعُ عِبَادَكَ. The day you gather all your servants. That is why no person should be at ease and have itminan at any time. We should always be restless. We should always be restless. Restless, then Allah, I still got a long way to go. I haven't done adequate preparation. Wallah, you give me the tawfiq. Wallah, you help me to become a better person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever good deeds I have done, you through your fazl, you accept it. Wallah, whatever sins that I have done through your fazl, ya Allah, you forgive. You forgive me all my guna. These are the du'as we need to be making consistently. Never reach a point where we get stagnated and we feel we've achieved. We've never achieved. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam can be making this du'a, it means that he doesn't have any achievement in front of him. He has nothing. He's only looking for Allah Ta'ala's fazl. So in the same way also, these masnoon du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us, there's a lot of depth in it. And there's a lot of ajizi in it. Helplessness. There's a lot of spirituality in it. There's ruh inside this here. So we must bring this alive in our lives. And then we must try to make our hearts better by saving ourselves from all forms of guna. So especially as students in a part in the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the legacy that Allah Ta'ala is giving us. We just finished the kitab of miras of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the Nabi, there is no inheritance for a Nabi. Whatever he leaves behind will be sadaqah. So Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she came to Hazrat Abu Bakr and said, who's going to inherit from your miras? He said, my wife and children. So then he said, why I'm not inheriting from my father's miras? She came to ask that question. Why I'm not inheriting? So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha said, that I've heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that nobody will inherit from a Nabi for that reason. However, whatever your expenses are, I'll take care of all your expenses. But there's no inheritance. So this now was the inheritance. This Quran and Hadith, this Ta'aleem, this is the actual inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine how fortunate we are that Allah Ta'ala has chosen us for the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And how unfortunate we are if we have to say that I will never make my son an alim, or I, because there's no empowerment here, that we become alims for empowerment. Is that what the gharaz of becoming an alim, to be empowered? Or to, it doesn't make us happy that today, alhamdulillah, I taught this one child how to read Quran. I taught this one child, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, one verse of the Quran. Is that not empowerment? What is empowerment? So it's tawheen of the ilm to look for empowerment by attaining Quran and Hadith. That's not what we study Quran. We study Quran and Hadith. Allah, you have given me this. I am so grateful that you have chosen me. And Allah, for your rida, we have studied all this. For your happiness, your pleasure. We don't care about the dunya. Nobody studies to become alim for empowerment. That's tawheen of Quran and ilm. Must never ever say that. Allah, save us from saying that. Said, why we done it? Because Allah, that this Quran and Hadith is so valuable. We are so fortunate that Allah, you chose us. We don't care about the dunya. We sat down, we taught one person, one surah Fatiha, one surah, one tashahud, one dua-i kunut. What you think is that in small? Is that not empowerment? So this is why, get our niyat right and make qadar of this ta'aleem of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah protect the ummah also. And especially the Gazans who are dying of starvation, while the people in the Arab countries are having big, big parties by hosting the enemies of Allah Ta'ala. So that in the Mubarak lands, and their children are dying, being starved to death by the very same people that they are hosting. That is the era that we are living in. It's a very painful era. Said, we have never seen anything like this before. Allah Ta'ala save us from such weakness of iman. Allah Ta'ala is Razak. The United States of America is not Razak. They don't control the universe. It's Allah who controls the universe. We forgot who Allah is. We have made the kufar of Allah. That's what has happened now. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah Ta'ala give us fahm salim and give us proper leaders. Give hidayah to all these leaders. They have made the dunya the perspective. $1 trillion of investment, while the people next to them are dying of starvation. How can that be right? In which way, which nation can ever, and then give flowery bayans and talks and pat one another's backs and say, no, we are, you are very close, you are our friend, and you are like this, and you are like that. What kind of a friendship it is that while we are together in all these deals that we are making, but in the same time, you are using those same weapons to kill our children and bombard them and make them into smithereens. What kind of a friendship is that? Is that friendship or is that animosity? And if you really go to see, this is their plan, to go from one Muslim country, destroy it, then they go to the next Muslim country, destroy it, then they go to the next Muslim country. And they have wiped out all the Muslim countries one by one. This is destruction that they have created. Wherever they put their hands inside, they create wars and civil wars, and then they leave from there. So please Allah give us tawfiq to understand who is our friends and who are the foes of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us. I know yesterday when we went for that program on the weekend, Hazrat Maulana was there also. He came, Usman Saab. He said, I was leaving Jalalabad. And when I was leaving Jalalabad, Maulana Masila rahmatullahi alayhi told me, aaj sabse zyada sasti cheez kya hai dunya mein? What is the cheapest thing now in the whole world? What is the cheapest thing? He said, the cheapest thing in the whole world, ye musalmano ka khoon ho gaya. It is the blood of the Muslims has become the cheapest thing in the world. The blood of the Muslims. Nobody cares about it. They gave no value to the blood of the Muslims. There's no value for those children that have been killed and those women that have been killed. There's no value for it. 50,000 of them have been killed. It's valueless. You see, lekin ek din wo zarur rang laega. That's what Maulana said. That blood that has been spilled won't go in vain. Inshallah, from their awlad, Allah will create the proper mujahideen, inshallah. They will topple over all these governments and tyrannical leaders of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of making our hearts more better, cleaning our hearts, bring us on the straight path. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Inshallah, azan will be given now.